Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, the podcast where we reminisce about our geeky childhoods with our un-geeky beer. I'm Tim.
And I'm Frank.
And tonight's beer of choice for Frank is...
I am drinking Nitro's Left Hand Milk Stout. It's a delicious beer.
I was like, you made that up.
Nope. Nitro
like
Left Hand Milk
Stout. Find in like a space bar.
No, it's really good. It's my favorite stout, actually. It's a delicious, delicious stout. There's actually a bar near me here that serves, next time you come up here, we should check it out. They serve beer floats, like a root beer float, but a beer float. And so a milk stout with a scoop of vanilla ice cream in it.
Oh, that sounds so good.
It changes your life. Changes your life forever, though. So good.
So good.
What about your beer? What are you drinking?
I am drinking a Barstool Ale from Foolproof, which is which my friend gave it to me because she lives in the town that Foolproof is in. And she was like, my town has a brewery, and it's cool, so I gave you this. It's
That's
good.
So
I like
cool.
it.
They're like in it. Rhode Island?
Yes, they are.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice.
They are indeed. Yeah, it's quite good. It's not my exact favorite style of beer, but I am enjoying it.
Cool.
But maybe that's only because now I'm just thinking about your milk stout.
I don't normally
euphemism for anything.
I don't normally go for stouts, really. It's like ice cream. It's like candy. It's just so good. I could drink so many of these. Anyway, I love it, and I will.
Does it go well with a spoonful of sugar, Frank?
It does help the medicine go down, Tim.
That's excellent. All right. Well, let's step in time right up into our conversation. I'm going to be full of these that I don't. All right. Well, full disclosure, audience. We're going to be discussing the darling Julie Andrews tonight.
A gem.
Specifically, we told ourselves, let's talk about Mary Poppins. But we were like, hey, we might not have a lot to say about Mary Poppins. So we're saying Julie Andrews, but be prepared. It could be a half an hour of Mary Poppins.
Let's see where this goes. So was Mary Poppins the first thing you saw Julie Andrews in?
Yes,
as a kid?
It was. I have a more distinct memory of watching Mary Poppins than The Sound of Music when I was little.
You have more memories. Okay.
I have more memories. Like, out of the three things that you could – four. I grew up watching Julie Andrews in five things, okay? Mary Poppins, Sound of Music, Victor Victoria, Cinderella, and Princess Diaries, of course, obviously. You know,
well, yeah.
Goodbye, trolley people.
Yeah. That's right.
And so,
thank you for being here today.
Yeah, that movie is so funny. But Mary Poppins is the first. I have very distinct memories of watching Mary Poppins when I was little, particularly since we also were big fans of the Dick Van Dyke Show in my house.
Yes, as were my family.
Absolutely. And my father, I mean, you know, you've seen my dad. He looks kind of like, he looks like Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, yeah, fair bit. Yeah.
And if you look at my parents' wedding photo, like the main one, they're like, you know, official, like, we're married photo.
Yeah,
he looks like Dick Van Dyke.
Wow.
Like, since you've known him, you know, he's, you know, gray and, you know, this and that and all the other things. But it's like, he's got the hair, he's tall, he's skinny, he's got the face.
Yeah, no.
Their noses are different.
But his face is a similar shape. He's got the similar build. Totally.
Yeah, they actually have very similar senses of humor. They're, it's all, it's all right there.
That's so great.
Yeah, so Mary Poppins holds a very special place in my heart since I was a little kid. And full act of second full disclosure, I just, you know, but I just spent 3 months of my life knee deep in a production of Mary Poppins. So I'm all about the Poppins right now.
Yeah.
It is.
It's really weird that you're playing Mrs. Banks.
You know, being Mrs. Banks is what does it entail? Being male, not a girl. No one saw it coming.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. See, I'm telling you. That was a great Mrs. Banks, who is not a suffragette in the Broadway production.
Oh, really?
By the way. Nope, that was added for the movie. That was all Disney, because P.L. Travers, the woman who created Mary Poppins, was like, "What? What is the no?" So the Broadway production of Mary Poppins they have the rights to the music, but not the stories. So the story is based off of the books, but it includes the music from the movies. Arguably, the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
Is the music and Dick Van Dyke and actually there's a great the whole cast is really great.
Yeah, they're all pretty great.
Beyond Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke. The whole cast is really stellar. But how about you? What about your first introduction to Mary Poppins? Mary Poppins.
My first introduction to Julie Andrews was Mary Poppins.
Was it?
It was. But I do have more memories of The Sound of Music than I have of Mary Poppins.
Well, I mean,
yeah, but that's just, I think I watched The Sound of Music a little more than I watched Mary Poppins.
It's not because you escaped the Nazis.
It's not
in Austria.
It's not. Nope. Huh. It's, I just kind of flew into it with an umbrella. Yeah, no, I think I watched that a little more, but I definitely have a special place for Mary Poppins. It's a really, I always think, like, I look, thinking back on it as an adult, it's such an interesting film because it's actual, it's, while it's a kid's film or a family film, it's pretty,
long
and like it looking at it, it's like, wow, this is way more like compared to kids movies today or family movies today. And it's a lot more like adult in a lot of ways, you know, like it's a little more mature than I think a lot of modern day family movies are, but it's also very cheeky and silly.
Yeah, I agree with all those cheeky.
Cheeky.
I wouldn't know if I'd call it adult. That I don't know if that's the right. Yeah, I don't know if I.
Yeah, I'm struggling.
It's not like if you're thinking like Alexander's Big Bad Terrible Long Ass Day.
No. Yeah. No, nothing like that.
But yeah, so like that I would understand, but
yeah,
it does kind of deal with heavy things like the neglectful parents and you know, which
money is everything, like all that
precision and order.
Yes,
is that so? I see now. My memory of Mary Poppins from the film and the musical, because it's been, like I said, my life is starting to blur together.
Yeah, I would imagine.
There are some things that I'm like, wait, which is this? Like, what's the bank song from the movie? Is it the same? It's precision and order, right? And it's our job to back them to the hilt.
Yeah, yes.
Right. Yeah, it's the same thing. Okay, never mind. Yes. Okay, just checking.
I mean, the Broadway show is still Disney.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and they had the music. They included all of it. It definitely changed a lot of the order to stuff.
Oh, you know, I'm sure
the show doesn't end with Fly a Kite. It's actually in the middle. It's at the it's like a quarter of the way through Act Two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And put there for a different reason. It's like the whole kite thing is a huge thing in the show, but it doesn't end with Fly a Kite. Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting.
It is interesting, but let's talk about Mary Poppins herself.
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins. Or do you want to talk about his accent first? Yeah.
Oh, God. bad.
He knew it was a bad accent.
Oh, they made him do it.
Yeah, he knew it was bad. I was just listening to an interview with Julie Andrews. Last week. It was on Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin.
Oh,
did I not tell you this? Did I not text you and tell you that Alec Baldwin interviewed Julie Andrews?
Nope.
Oh, well, he did, and apparently, it's the best thing I've ever listened to.
Apparently,
so.
You don't like me, so.
I apparently don't. So, well, that's been Beer with Geeks. Until next time.
Cheers!
Cheers. No, don't turn it off. We're not done yet. No, come back. So people are listening. They're like, oh, thank God. I hate these guys.
Why are there 20 more minutes of these jerks? Yeah.
They're not even talking about Julie Andrews. This whole thing is a sham.
Julie Shamdrews.
Julie Shamdrews. No, you can't use her name like that. No, you can't disrespect the name Julie Andrews. I was listening and they were talking about, you know, they talked about My Fair Lady,
yep,
and The Girlfriend, and, you know, all these, Victor Victoria and all these other things. That movie where she said the word sex, whatever it's called, I can't remember the name of it, you know. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. That was like.
I know, but it's funny the way you said it.
Well, that's exactly what it was.
That movie where she said the sex word.
The movie where she said the sex word. It was troubling for everybody. Nobody knew what to do with themselves.
Yeah.
Now I can't. The Americanization of Emily. That's what it's called.
Oh,
I
knew.
Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the movie she did right after Mary Poppins. They came out in the same year. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that was like her. I need to break away from being. You know, it's the basic, like, I need to break away from Disney Princess.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So. This interview is only 49 minutes long. That's not very long at all.
No, it's not. But it's actually – usually he does two guests in one episode.
Okay.
And so he spends – you know, he spends a lot of time talking.
Yeah, he devoted it, like, all to her.
Yeah, and it's mostly her. Like, he kind of, like, prompts her with a few things.
Sure.
But a lot of the time – it's really – she's in it most of the time.
I'm downloading it now.
Oh, good. Good,
yeah,
good, good.
Definitely going to listen to this later. It's great.
So – I'm going to, what are we talking about? Anyway, in the interview, she says that, like, she talked about Dick Van Dyke's accent, and.
Yes,
Yeah, he knew it was terrible. Like, it was not a mystery. Yeah. To anybody. He knew it was offensive.
I mean, under any kind of delusion, he knew. But no, they made him do it. They made him do it.
It's, for odd, some odd, but it's so. This is going to sound weird. It's smart that they did, because I think it's part of the charm of the character. Is that weird? Like, he's just so – he's so the opposite of Mary that way, where she is just so proper. Her English is perfect. And
she's
he's
refined.
So on the exactly. And he's just on the other spectrum of that.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
she's presently clean. He is consistently dirty. You know, and they just form this yin-yang duo to take care of these children. It's – I'm going to cry. So good. I'm getting verklempt.
Yeah, I mean, he's so rough around the edges, and he's such just this lovable scalawag, mm-hmm. where she is, you know, very prim and proper, and, you know, everything in its place.
She's
nothing out of
practically perfect
in every way. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I had a friend listening to this podcast the other day. He's like, oh, I forgot you had that, so I want to download a bunch of them and listen to them. I said, cool, thank you so much. You know, I love to meet a fan.
Even yeah, been yeah.
a friend for years.
Always wanted to say that.
Yeah, I know. And so, actually, I have a good story about that. I totally lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. So he texts me a couple of days later. And he's like, so I've listened to like 5 or 6 episodes, and you sing and make up your own songs a lot.
I don't know.
I am very aware. Believe me. Very aware.
Does that happen?
But no, my story. My parents were very kind enough to come see this production of Mary Poppins,
very nice.
Which was very nice of them to support me in such ways. And so, but it's been well established that I work at a school at this point.
Yes.
And so it's a school production. I was one of the directors, you know, blah, 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 all this stuff. And so, but we give the students extra credit for going to the show. And, So a lot of, so it's just like, have your book, have the book signed by a teacher that you see. So there's, you know, credibility, you know, go see this person, this person, this person, this person. So my parents are at the show. I'm talking to them at intermission because I'm doing all this stuff for the show otherwise. So, and all these kids keep coming up to me and they're like, will you sign my book? And so like, I'm always flipping over to the autograph page and like signing my name because they need extra credit. And my parents are looking at me like, what is happening? Like, just like, la, 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 la. Oh, yeah, you want my signature? Here you go, kid. Are you enjoying the show? All right, cool. Have a nice night, you know? And so I'm like, yeah, this is a regular occurrence for me. I'm not going to tell them it's for extra credit. So my parents are looking, their parents are watching me like, why are all these kids asking for your autograph? Like why do they, are you that good of a teacher? And I'm, yes, I am. Yes. So anyway, getting back to Miss Julie.
Yeah, I love Julie Andrews in all things. The Sound of Music, I think, needs a mention.
Yes, of course.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that is, I'm pretty sure that and Mary Poppins are, you know, those are considered her like two masterpieces. You know, like those are the two things that most people know her from.
Yes, I think, yes. No, the Americanization of Emily is obviously.
Yeah, no. Clearly. But no, really, I mean, even at the most recent Oscars, Lady Gaga sang a medley of songs from the Music.
And it was so good.
It was very good.
She was blown away. Yeah, she was outstanding.
And you know, and then Julie Andrews came out right after that. And I definitely think she's definitely, you know, most well known for that in Mary Poppins. And it's such a classic film. Yeah, 50 years old this year. And
Sound of Music is?
Sound of Music, yeah, that's why they did the tribute, because it was 50 years.
Oh, right, it was 50 years, okay.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. So, yeah, so, and it's still showing on TV every year, you know, yep. At one point or another, on network television, it's like an annual thing still. Mm-hmm. They did, obviously, NBC did the musical version of it a couple of years ago, the live musical performance of it, so yes, it's...
they did.
It's a classic. I love that film. I love Julie Andrews in that film. I was in a production of that in middle school, so it's very like close to me.
I knew that. Played
Friedrich.
Friedrich.
No, Friedrich.
I knew it.
No, I was no Nazi. I was no Nazi.
Yeah, I get the kids' names confused sometimes.
Yeah, I get the younger, like the two or three younger kids I get confused about. Like, there's Marta and Gretel and Hansel and...
I thought you said Han Solo.
I don't know. Han Solo.
There's Gretel and Han Solo. And
Leia.
Like, nope, now you're making that up. Nope. I've seen The Sound of Music. Han Solo is definitely not in it. Yeah.
But how cool would that be? Come on. Come on.
But Han shot the Nazis first.
All kinds of stormtroopers in that movie, if you know what I mean. So, yeah.
That's a mashup waiting.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah.
Han Solo versus the Nazis.
Just climbing over the mountains of Oz. climbing over the mountains of Alderaan to escape the storm. To escape the
stormtroopers.
Someone make that mashup. Is anybody out there
good at
YouTube or song mixes or, you know, Photoshop, something? Just give me something. Yeah, I'll take
song anything. Mixes. What, like an auto-tuned version of Han Solo versus the Nazis?
Oh my god, it
was so funny. Oh man. Yeah, it's a classic, and Julie Andrews is outstanding, and I've always loved that movie, and you mentioned The Princess Diaries.
Could I not mention The Princess Diaries?
You know what? I'm thinking, how did we not mention that in our Guilty Pleasure chick flick episode a while back?
Oh, true story. Maybe it's because I don't really consider it a chick flick.
I guess I don't either, but it really, really is. I mean, it's meant for like 16-year-old girls, if that.
I know, but I think a lot of people grow up watching it a lot younger than that. Like, we certainly were. We were of the correct age to hit when it came out. But I have a lot of... I know younger kids who grew up watching it, like an 8-year-old, like watching Princess Diaries. That was a movie because it came out in 2001. Yeah.
2001. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Right. So we were kind of the right age for it. maybe even a little bit younger than they were trying to hit. I don't know. You really think it's meant for like 16-year-olds? I don't think
so. No, probably 12-year-olds.
So it's rated G. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's not meant for 20-something-year-old guys, I guess is what I'm saying.
No, of course it's not. Absolutely not. Oh, no.
So that's why it would be a guilty pleasure chick flick. Oh, it's meant for children who are female, and we are neither of those things.
Hey, that's neither here nor there.
I know, you're a child at heart. I'm sorry.
I have the heart of a child.
Yeah.
And it sits right here on the corner of my desk.
Oh, ouch. Yeah.
That I can't take credit for that line. That is a Stephen King quote.
That's good.
Actually. That he was asked in an interview. He's like, "Stephen, like you seem so normal and happy, like, but you write such dark, dark things. Like, how do you work with that disparity?" And he was like, "Well, I really have the heart of a child. And it sits right here on my desk."
That's a good line. I'm probably going to steal line. That.
Yeah, but feel free. I've been using it for years.
Yeah. But other than those, so you mentioned Cinderella too, which I have seen, but I've only seen it maybe once or twice the whole way through.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's not my favorite Cinderella, actually.
So this is the Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella, right? The one that was a live TV production in black and white.
Mm-hmm. That's the one.
So just like NBC has made a tradition of doing, you know, The Sound of Music and then Peter Pan and, did they announce what the next one is going to be? I feel like they did, but I can't remember what it was.
Fox is doing Grease. I knew that.
Oh, are they? I didn't know that. Anyway, yeah, they're doing now, just like that's become a tradition on NBC now, and apparently now with Fox. They used to do that way back in the day, and Cinderella was one of them, mm-hmm. and it was Julie Andrews.
Might have been the first one.
May have been. But yeah, it was a live TV production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's version of Cinderella, which is mm-hmm. now on Broadway again, or at least it was. I'm not sure if it still is. But yeah, and so I did see that probably once or twice all the way through. But did you grow up watching it more?
I grew up watching the Leslie Ann Warren one, and then the Brandy one. Arguably the best of all three.
I forgot about that one.
It's so good.
I saw it once. Yeah. Like maybe when it premiered on TV, because mm-hmm. that was a made for TV, right?
Yeah, it was Disney. Yeah, because Disney did a couple of.
Yeah, they were doing that for a
Disney
while.
They did a couple of redos. They did Music Man.
Yep.
And
Annie. Oh,
shoot, Annie and Cinderella. I think there might have been another one in there.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I do know that they were supposed to do 1776. That was their next slated one.
They did it.
They didn't.
Yes, they did.
They got shut down.
Oh, wait, 1776. Yeah. You're right. Sorry. You said 1776, and in my head I was thinking The Music Man, even though you just said that. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Probably because 76 like, trombones. That's probably why.
Okay. I'm like,
that's probably
why. No, I swear to you, there's only one, and it stars Mr. Feeny. Like,
that would have. Yeah, exactly. That would have been so great if they had done that. It's one of my favorites.
I know, me too.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a few of those, and I do remember the Brandy Cinderella, and it's a good show. It's a really good show. Like Rodgers and Hammerstein, are, you know, obviously fantastic, and it's a really really well done show.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy it. So Julie Andrews, I have very dim memories of it, to be perfectly honest. I just remember it being Andrews in one. Black and white.
I really only remember the ball scene, actually. To even be fair,
so do I. Oddly enough, that's all I just remember.
That's odd.
I remember she had to make a quick change, and I remember she like stepped off camera and then stepped back onto camera, and like they just did a really long dance number with like, you know, chorus people while she, I guess, made a quick change into her like ball gown or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just remember that like, oh wow, I bet that was like a really clever camera trick back, you know, in 1957 or whatever it was.
Oh, I don't remember that at all. I just remember her talking to. I just remember talking to the prince, like, basically.
The prince, who is having a ball.
Who's,
by the way.
Having a ball. The prince is having a ball. Yeah. We're getting a little far away from Julie Andrews, but...
it's okay.
Have you ever seen Victor Victoria?
I regret that I have not.
Oh, my God. What are we even doing here talking about, Mario? Like, Julie Andrews. Get out.
Who's that?
Like, get out of here. Like... How can you have a conversation and have not seen Victor Victoria? Oh, it's so good. Okay, I know it's a TV film, so I'll give some background for people. It was directed by her husband, Blake Edwards, most notably known for the Pink Panther series. Let's say that, among other things. Yeah, so Victor Victoria is basically about a woman named Victoria, played by Julie Andrews, who's not getting anywhere with her career, if I'm remembering this correctly. I haven't seen it for a while. And so she instead pretends to be a man named Victor, so she can get parts. I found a synopsis. So
nice.
Out of work singer Victoria Grant meets just fired flamboyant gay man in diner in 1920s Paris. He convinces her to pretend to be a man who is a female impersonator in order to get a job. The act is a hit at a local nightclub, but things get complicated by the gangster, so on and so forth, blah, blah, blah. Oh, what a good...
It's a really funny premise. I'm familiar with the premise. I just have not seen the film.
Oh, it's so good. I can't...
It's one of those many films that I'm like, I'll get to it. I'll see it eventually.
Yeah, but you're like, okay, I'll work with you for this. Because Julie Andrews...
Yes.
James Garner.
I know.
Robert Preston. Leslie Warren. John Rhys Davies. Have you not seen this movie? Oh, so good. Robert Preston, actually, he's so good in it.
I know.
I think I saw Victor Victoria first, then I saw his Music Man.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, oh, hey, I know you. I'm a little kid, but I'm like starting to recognize different people
in
movies now. All of that aside, we need to pinpoint something about Julie Andrews that we haven't talked about yet.
Shrek. Her voice? Oh.
Yes, her voice. Exactly. Yes. Shrek.
Yeah.
Yes. We need to talk about Shrek because she plays the queen in Shrek.
That's right.
And she's lovely. And I really have nothing further to add into that except that she was the queen. And maybe a little underutilized, exquisite. Consider that she's Julie Andrews.
I think you can make that argument about most things she's in. She's probably underutilized in some way because she's Julie Andrews and she's the queen of life.
That's interesting. Actually, if you feel that way, IMDb is having a poll right now.
Oh,
Favorite dame of the British Empire. Between Angela Lansbury, Helen Mirren, Maggie Smith, Judy Dench, Julie Andrews, Diana Rigg, wonderful.
None of that is fair.
No, none of it is fair.
They're
none
all of it spectacular. Is
fair. Who am I supposed to vote for? How can I say that Maggie Smith is better than Julie Andrews or vice versa?
Where do my loyalties lie?
I'm going to say that mine lie with Julie Andrews.
Yeah,
I'm because we're doing an episode about Julie Andrews and we have yet to do one about Helen Mirren, Maggie Smith, or Judi Dench.
That is correct.
Just saying.
Although we did one about Bond.
That's true. That's
and Judi Dench.
I did just vote good. For Julie Andrews. She's in fourth place right now. Yeah. Helen Mirren is winning.
Okay.
Then Maggie Smith, then Judi Dench, then Julie Andrews.
Got it.
I don't know if I'd put Helen Mirren at the top of that list.
I don't know if I would either. I like Helen Mirren very, very much, but
I do too.
I think Julie Andrews is definitely going to win that for me, and then Judi Dench. And then
Maggie Smith, then Helen
Maggie
Mirren.
Smith and Helen.
Yeah,
well, it would actually be a little. No, I'd probably put Helen Mirren above Maggie Smith for me because I really am not. I mean, I haven't seen a whole lot of Maggie Smith.
But Maggie Smith is Granny Wendy.
I know, but I know, but
she's Professor McGonagall.
Anyway,
yeah,
Julie Andrews is awesome.
Oh my goodness! Did you read her biography? By any chance?
Oh, you know, no, I haven't, and I really should. I have to see if that's on Audible because I have some Audible credits to use for this month. And
I love Audible, which sounds like a plug of
it's not,
them for
they
a sponsor
do not pay
plug.
Us.
It's not. I just really like Audible.
We should probably stop talking about them since they don't pay us. But I love listening to audiobooks, and that would be a good one. I wonder if she reads it, if it exists.
Oh.
Wouldn't it be great to hear her story told by her? Yeah.
Yep, I agree. She well, she writes children's books now with her daughter. Did you know that?
I did. I saw her on I can't remember which talk show I saw her on a couple of years ago talking about it. Home, a memoir of my early years by Julie Andrews, unabridged, narrated by Julie Andrews.
We both looked it up at the same time.
That sounds like a buy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, buy that one. Yeah, so that's...
Also, My Lucky Life in and Out of Show Business, a memoir by Dick Van Dyke, narrated by Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, all right. All right, now we're talking.
Yeah, now this is Mary Poppins full swing, people. Here we go.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I'm back not full out circle of it where yet. We started.
Oh, my God.
Full circle back to where we started. You know, you were mentioning before Dick Van Dyke and you heard her on a podcast. I heard him on a podcast like a year ago.
Really?
Yeah, it's on Kevin Pollak's chat show. It's an old episode. It's probably from like 3-4 years ago, but I listened to it last year. Kevin Pollak's chat show. And Dick Van Dyke was there for 2 or 3 hours. It's pretty long. And wow, they talked about everything, talked about show business and, you know, going back years. And he said, like, I knew my accent wasn't very good, but they told me to just do it. Like, they said no one would notice. They said no one would, you know.
They're right, though, because when you're a kid, nobody notices. Right.
Well, yeah, when you're a kid, no one notices. And it's also like this was a time when people saw a movie once and never saw it again. Right. If you saw it again, it was because you were some kind of rich person who could afford to see the same movie over and over again. But no one did that. You went to see a movie on Saturday and then you never saw it again because there was no television. I mean, there was television by then, but, you'd wait until it was on television to watch it again.
Right.
So it wasn't really a concern of like, oh, people are going to rewatch it and laugh at how bad your accent is. It's like it was disposable. It was a one-time thing. They'd see it once. They'd be like, oh, maybe that wasn't the best accent. And then they'd never see the movie again and it'd be fine. Mm-hmm. So they just told him, nah, don't worry about it because that was old school studio thinking. But yeah, he knew. He knew. He knew it wasn't the best. But he just did his best. Did what he could. And they lied to him. So there's that.
And thus ends our strangely disjointed conversation on Julie Andrews?
Julie Poppins?
Julie...
Han Solo?
We talked about Nazis?
I don't know.
We talked about a lot of things.
We did.
Well, that concludes our hodgepodge episode of Beer with Geeks. Frank, where can the people find us?
They can find us over at beerwithgeeks.com. They can send us a note at beerwithgeeks@gmail.com. Tweet at us at beerwithgeeks. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/beerwithgeeks. Or check out our new podcast, Supergirl TV. We do this thing where we always act surprised, like, we have another podcast.
I know. It's, and we've said it for like the past like 3 or 4 episodes already.
I know, that's true. But yeah, Supergirl TV Talk is our new show. If you want to listen to that, then you can hear us on that show. Be shocked whenever we talk about this show. And that's where we talk about the upcoming CBS show, Supergirl.
For people who are shocked easily, we're very predictable.
That's right. We're very forgetful because we're shocked about the same things over and over again. But yeah, it's a fun time. We enjoy it, and we hope you enjoy it too. So check us out, SupergirlTVTalk.com. Anyway, I think that wraps it up for us today.
Cool.
Thank you for joining me on this Andrew-rific expedition today, Tim.
Come on. We're going to go fly a kite. Let's go.
It was practically perfect episode, Tim.
There it is. That was way better. That took a lot of effort out of you. Well, you know what, Frank? I love to laugh, and you really did make me laugh.
Good.
I'm going to go dance with some penguins. I'll see you
do
later.
That.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.